Parshas Pinchas 57:78. We have a pasuk that goes in this week's parsha, and I know I'm not going to be speaking about Pinchas this year, and it's strange to talk about Parshas Pinchas without dealing with Pinchas itself. But when counting up all the people in Klal Yisrael going from one person to the next, it talks about Dustin and Aviram, how Dustin and Aviram died, and it talks about how Korach, how he died. And then it says, "Ubnei Korach lo mesu." This is its own pasuk. It's in Perek Chav Vav pasuk Yud Aleph, and it says just those four words, "Ubnei Korach lo mesu." The sons of Korach did not die. So, what does that mean? What happened to them that didn't allow them to die? So, hold off in the midrashim for now. The simplest explanation is the Targum Yonasan. Targum Yonasan Menuziel says the sons of Korach were not involved with the fight that their father had with Moshe Rabbeinu at all. They weren't involved at all. They had nothing to do with it. When Korach went up to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bnei Korach stayed home. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They didn't argue. They didn't get swallowed up by the ground because they weren't involved. They weren't there. They weren't burned by the huge fires by the Ketores because they weren't involved. The Bnei Korach wanted nothing to do with this. When Korach got up and he said, "I'm arguing with Moshe Rabbeinu today," the Bnei Korach got up and said, "We are not. We're not involved. We're not doing anything at all." Midrash Lekach Tov says they were nowhere near Dustin Aviram and Korach because they were carriers of the Mishkan. They didn't hang out with Korach, their father, or the other people that were the Bnei Reuven. They were in a different place altogether. Now, that's the most pashut answer as to why he says Bnei Korach Lamesu, but it doesn't answer a simple question. Why are we talking about this now? Like, what does it have to do with anything? We're talking about Dustin and Aviram, how they and their children and everybody else were killed, and how Korach was killed. And then over here, we're going to say, oh, Bnei Korach Lamesu, that the sons of Korach didn't die, not in Parshas Korach. We're not going to mention that there. We're going to say it here in the middle of Parshas Pinchas. Clearly, there's a message here. If it's just so simple, and the simple explanation is because Bnei Korach had nothing to do with this, then tell me that there. This is the wrong place to put this. There's something wrong. Yeah.
Why are we calling them Bnei Korach? Because that sounds like they're following.
Like they're followers of Korach. They're calling them Bnei Korach itself. That's a great question of itself. I didn't think of that, but that's 100% a great question. Why are they called Bnei Korach? So the whole thing is a little bit of that. You're right, but just call them by their names. We know what their names are, right? We have it from Tehillim. We have Asaf. We have Asir Elkanah, right? We have their names. It's not like we don't know who they are. So why not just call them by their names? So Rashi argues with this Targum. And he brings down the Medrash that they were involved with their father Korach. They were involved with the fight. They agreed with what Korach was doing. But when they approached Moshe Rabbeinu and they saw what was happening, they had thoughts of tshuva. Immediately they started thinking to themselves, maybe we should do tshuva. And a small spot was raised up for them in Gehenna that when everybody else fell down into the earth, they fell down. A makom was nisbatzer lahem. A space, a place was made for them when they were going down to Gehenna that was there a little bit higher than the other places around so that they were swallowed up, but they were saved by standing on that spot. That is an unreal medrash. Where are they now, according to Rashi? What are they doing? They're standing on a little spot in the middle of Gehenna. Why is that worse? Why is that better, I should say, than being in Gehenna itself? Because the fires are not as extreme? Is this a physical thing when we're dealing with this? Now, the Baal HaTorim explains that the drush of Rashi comes from the last word in the last pasuk. It says, Ve'yulin Nes. There was a miracle that happened that the ground opened up and swallowed up all the people that were by Dustin and Aviram and Korach's family, etc., or the other things that belong to Korach, etc., right? That Ve'yulin Nes. Nes not only means a miracle, it means a pole. There was a stand in the middle of Gehenna. A stand in which these people, the Bnei Korach, stood on that allowed them to survive. Everyone else fell into the pit, but they were on a nace and they stood up over there. He says the word la nace, lamed nun samach, only appears three times in Tanakh, and therefore it refers to this over here. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says the exact same thing. He brings a pasuk in Tehillim that indicates this. That's the idea behind it. So what happened to them after that? So Yalkut Shimoni brings down in this week's Parsha, they retained this spot in Gehenna where they stood up and sang Shira, but they remained in Gehenna, and they never got out. They were in Gehenna and stood in Gehenna, but they stood on that spot and sang Shira. Yes?
Isn't Shmuel a descendant of Korach from these people?
Very good. Hold on with that question. That's a Mizrahi's question. Good question, Noah. So hold on with that question. Rashi says, this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuvav. Rashi says in Sanhedrin that every 30 days there is a song that comes out from the earth in which the Blue Korach, those who are swallowed up by Korach, sing a song, Moshe Emes, so Russo Emes Vehim Badoyin, Moshe is true, his Torah is true, and we are a bunch of liars, they, referring to themselves, are a bunch of liars, and every 30 days you can hear them say it, the Gemara in Bava Basra, round up, Ayin Gimel Aves, Ayin Dalal and Aleph, says that Rabba Bar Chana was met by an Arab merchant who was showing him the blue A Korach and what they were saying, says Rashi, those refer to the B'nai Korach. It's the B'nai Korach, the sons of Korach that are singing. They're the ones who are getting up and saying it. They're the ones who are calling out this song over here. Not the Blue Korach, the other people. The B'nai Korach themselves are the ones that are doing it. Yes.
But don't they never get a kapara?
Seemingly, that means that they will never get a kapara for what they're doing. And on that extreme, if we're going with this idea in Rashi, Tosfos in Kiddushin Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, I'll tell you, I do not have an expertise in every Tosfos and Shas. This was brought down by the Pardes Yosef, and I've known this Tosfos actually, because it's a famous Tosfos, and Lamed Aleph Amud Beis is toward the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, and everybody's done the Kibbutz of the Ein Gemaras. So it's right there on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. I just didn't realize that Tosfos said this. The B'nai Korach went down to Gehenim. And they were in Gehenna. No makom nisbatzer lahem. There was no special spot that was designated for them. They literally were brought down in Gehenna themselves. Can you imagine? Everybody else says, no, they were saved. No, they did tshuva. Says Tosfos, what are you talking about? They were swallowed up by the ground and they're gone. The extreme of Tosfos over there is that they're still in Gehenna. They're still there today. So what about Rashi? The Gur Aryeh seems to say the same as Rashi, the Maskil of David as well. He says they did tshuva, but not a full tshuva. They did sort of this halfway tshuva where they felt bad about what they did, but they didn't feel bad enough. And therefore, even though they saved themselves from being in the lowest level of Gehenna, according to Rashi, they're still in Gehenna, but a little bit farther up because their tshuva took them halfway down, but not all the way down and not all the way up. The line that the Gur Aryeh uses is that lo chayin v'lo meisim. They're not alive, but they're not dead. They're not alive, meaning they're not tzaddikim in Olam Haba. They're not mesim, they're not dead in Gehenna itself. They're sort of in between, and that's how the Gur Aryeh ends it. The Maral says, the B'nai Korach did not come up. Now, Noah's question, the Mizrahi asked the question, not on the Gur Aryeh, but on Rashi himself. He says, how does this make any sense? There are children from Korach. If anybody knows, the Horowitzes that live on Sherwin, right? There's a Horowitz, well, one of their kids went to the academy a couple years ago. Victor Horowitz is the father. They are descendants from the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach HaKadosh was a Horowitz, lived about 350 years ago. But the Shlach HaKadosh, he says that he can bring himself back to Korach. The Shlach HaKadosh can bring himself back to Shmuel HaNavi. And the Medrash says that Shmuel HaNavi was a descendant of Korach. How is that possible if they're standing on a spot in Gehenna? How'd they get out? How are there descendants of Korach? There are B'nai Korach that are mentioned in Tehillim all over the place. I think it's 13 Tehillim that are written by the B'nai Korach. Lam Natzeach, Livni Korach, Mizmor, Lam Natzeach, from Asaf, Mizmor La Asaf. These are the children of Korach. How is it possible that there are B'nai Korach if they never survived? They're in Gehenna, but they're in a spot, says Rashi, and they're standing right over there. What happened to them? I'm sorry? Meaning there were other kids that survived. So the answer, but I would say the opposite. If it's saying B'nai Korach lo mesu, and in Parshas Korach, it says, V'chol asher le Korach, everything that belonged to Korach was swallowed up by the ground. You think everybody else for sure died. These B'nai Korach were the only ones that survived, and even they didn't survive. That's what I would have thought. Now, it could be that there's somebody else that's not mentioned at all, but it seems really, really, really strange. The Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshat Va'era says the B'nai Korach are part of the 48 Nevi'im. You mean to tell me that three of the 48 Nevi'im that we have in the world, three of them are sitting in Gehenna or halfway down to Gehenna, according to Rashi? That doesn't make any sense. Something's wrong here. How in the world are they halfway but not all the way down there? The Ibn Ezra says it as well. There's no question they must have survived. They had to have survived. So how did they survive? So in the Yud Aleph Meforshe Rashi, it's a sefer, it's a 7-volume set that has out there all the different Meforshe Rashi inside there. Obviously the Mizrahi and the Gur Aryeh, Sefer Zikaron, the Be'er Heitev, it also brings down the Maskil Adavid and the Be'er Basodeh. The Be'er Basodeh brings down an answer over here which makes a lot of sense. The spot where B'nai Korach were standing was in an area underneath the earth. Now, he's taking a really big twist here. You ready for the twist? It was a spot when they fell down, a spot opened up, almost like a cliffside, and they landed on that cliff. Now, where is that? Deep below the earth itself, he says, in an area called Tevel, which he says in a medrash refers to a land beneath our land, a land below where our land is, possibly a series of caves, where when they were swallowed up by the ground, the Bnei Korach specifically, maybe their wives and whoever was with them, landed in a certain spot that was near a cave that allowed them to be somewhat near in an area called Tevel. They may never have made it back up. They may have had kids there. They may have lived down there, done whatever they need to do in these caves, right? And then eventually their children or their grandchildren ended up coming back, finding their way back through the cave system, back to our earth, back to the land that we're on. Can you imagine? There's like a whole race of like Morlocks that apparently are not evil, right? That are living underneath the ground, that are from the Bnei Korach. Does anybody get the Morlock reference? Time machine? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, for those that get that, I'm very proud of you. For those that don't, you got to read 100-page books. It's a novella. Come on, it's a classic novella, The Time Machine. Right? You don't have to watch the movie. The movie's not worth anything. But the book, I mean, come on. The Time Machine is a very, very worthy book. Very, very good. I'm sorry? Yeah, for those who... Either way, but it's an area down there where they're harmless, malevolent Morlocks, where everything's all good, and they somehow, some of them were able to find their way back. Some of them were able to get back on top of the earth. Says the Be'er Basadeh, that's how they found back. The Bnei Korach did not die. They didn't go down to Gehenna. But the Bnei Korach didn't come back up either. The Bnei Korach gave over what they had to their children or their grandchildren, and they eventually found their way back up. An absolute crazy pshat. Now, the Divrei David from the Taz says this pshat, but not as extreme. He just says they remained in that certain area for a while, and then eventually somebody let down a rope, and either they climbed out or they made a ladder or whatever it is, but eventually they were able to get themselves back up. Not like so crazy where they were just sitting in a system of caves for the rest of their time in a land called Tevel. It was certain people that died, but the Bnei Korach never died. They were able to survive by holding on to something and eventually climb their way back up. Yes?
Could this be the time this was brought down? They thought the earth was flat.
Let's not get into that. That's not a thing to go into. When we do Pesachim Tzadi Dalad B'Ian, maybe we'll go into that. But for right now, no need to go into that. That's that for when it comes to that. Now, the Ksav Sofer says the reason why they're in limbo. We already mentioned that they did tshuva, says the Gur Aryeh, but they didn't do a full tshuva. So the tshuva allowed them to be saved, but they didn't get to be fully saved. That's the idea. Says the Ksav Sofer, the reason why they're in limbo is because they caused other people to sin. Sure, they might have done tshuva. They did tshuva for themselves. But when you make other people sin and they don't do tshuva, you cannot be saved. What they needed, says the Ksav Sofer, is they had to wait until every person that was still alive, that they had caused to sin, for all of those people to do tshuva. And when they did tshuva, when they finished doing tshuva, then they were able to come back up. They came up from Gehenna only after that was finished. So they were sitting there on a stand, singing their songs. Whatever they were doing, they were standing on top of there. And when everyone finished doing tshuva upstairs on the earth themselves, I'm assuming before Moshe Rabbeinu died, maybe at a time, maybe there was a kapara given. Whenever it happened, at some point, the land that they were on raised itself back up until it became even with the land, and then they joined back with Klal Yisrael. So we got three basic answers that yes, they were on their own special spot, but either they climbed out, they found their way back through caves, or the land itself miraculously came back up and they were able to join the rest of Klal Yisrael when everybody else did tshuva. That's how the Ksav Sofer looks at it. The Tam Das says that it seems likely to him they were involved with their father, but they realized he was wrong and they decided they were going to do tshuva itself. Mida keneged mida. They did not think to help the other people. They looked at Dustin and Abiram and they said, let them be. They looked at their brothers and sisters and Korach's family. They said, let them be. We understand that Korach's wrong. Everybody else, they should have understood it on their own. The Bnei Korach were powerful. Bnei Korach had a voice. Had they gotten together and looked at their father Korach and at Dustin and Abiram and said, you guys are wrong. We should be on Moshe Rabbeinu's side. If they would have allowed others to understand what they were saying, this is not like they caused others to sin. According to this, the way the Tam Vadas Rav Sternbach is saying it, Rav Sternbach is saying they're being punished because they didn't help other people. Not that they caused others to sin. They didn't help them. If they would have gone up to them and said, stop it, guys, you're wrong. This is the right thing to do. They would have listened and everything would have been better. And for that, for not going up to them and asking them to do better, that's why they're punished and they're swallowed up. And listen to the Midi Keneged Mida. on an island without anybody around them. You don't want to help other people, you'll be on your own with no other people. That was the punishment they were given. They were put on their own as if they weren't around anywhere. And that's obviously the lesson to us. We can't always give muster to everybody. I'd love to give muster to everybody I see. But the fact is, it's not always going to work. But for the people that we know we can give muster to and say something to, and it'll work by, you have to go up to them and say something in the best way possible. Say it to them in a way that they're going to understand it, not so that you're screaming at them or telling them that they're wrong, but to say it in such a way that B'nai Korach had a voice. They didn't use it. Therefore, they're punished. That's the idea behind it, and that, unfortunately, was their punishment. Yeah, Mazi.
Wouldn't openly speaking, contradicting their father and all that, isn't that a violation?
Over on Kibbutz Avayim?
Yeah.
You are not over on Kibbutz Avayim if your father is telling you to do something that's usher. And what Korach was telling them to do was definitely usher, and therefore there was no issue of Kibbutz Avayim. In fact, we'll see, the fact that they didn't do Kibbutz Avayim in this situation is the mitzvah that might have saved them. We'll talk about that soon. Yeah, Ez.
Why was it so harsh of them? Wasn't it incredibly hard to go against what your father's like,
yeah. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You gotta fight. And B'nai Korach knew it was wrong, and the B'nai Korach had the ability to say it was wrong, and they have to do it. There's no question. I don't care that it's hard. Do it. That's what the expectation is. And if they weren't expected to do it, they wouldn't have been punished for it. If there was no such expectation. Now, Rav Schwab says, I know up until now we're talking about this middle spot, how they got out, and what happened to them. Rav Schwab says, never happened. In classic Rav Shimon Schwab fashion, and Mayim Beis HaShoeva, Rav Schwab says, there is no Gehenim underneath the earth. There is no spot that was stood up there where they were able to stand on top of it. Were they swallowed up by a sinkhole, Dustin and Aviram and the other people around? Yes. They were swallowed up by a massive sinkhole that miraculously formed right in front of them. But there was no little spot that showed up for them to stand on, says Rav Schwab. That's not the meaning, that's not the purpose of that medrash. The purpose of the medrash of the Makom Nispatzelam Begehenim is the following. It's based on the Gemara in Yuma, Ayin Beis Mabez. Rava told his students he wanted them to work on their Yiras Shemayim, not just their learning. I love that you're learning, Rava would tell his students. Your learning is terrific. But if you don't work on your Yiras Shemayim and your fear of heaven, your awe of heaven, your learning is worth nothing. I see a lot of Talmidei Chachamim that are not working on their Bein Adam L'Chaver, and look what they are. They're not the people that people want to be like. If you're going to be a Talmid Chacham, not only work on your Torah, work on your Yiras Shemayim as well. So he told his students the following, work on Yiras Shemayim because I don't want you to be Tartun Tarti Gehenim, to inherit two Gehenims. Gehenim in this world, because you're not taking advantage of everything in Olam Hazeh because you're sitting and learning all day, and advantage in the next world, because if you learn without Yiras Shemayim, you're not getting any Olam Haba for what you're doing. You're getting absolutely no Olam Haba. I don't want you to lose out and get Gehenim here and Gehenim there. Says Rav Schwab, and he points out, that means there's a Gehenim on our world, in Olam Hazeh. What is Gehenim in this world? Gehenim in this world is tremendous and horrible Yisurin. Yisurin that take over the body, that take over the mind. Trials and tribulations that we wouldn't wish upon our worst enemy. And listen, even when you reach into your pocket, Hechidam Yisurin, says the Gemara Narachan, just reaching in your pocket and thinking that you have two coins in there and only pulling out one, so that you have to reach in your pocket again. Even that's Yisurin. Yisurin come in many forms, many different forms. And in that sense, says Rav Schwab, you know what happened to B'nai Korach? Lo Mesu. They didn't die. Instead, Makom Nispatzer Lahem, there was a space given them in this world, meaning they got Gehenim in this world instead. Their tshuva was not good enough. The tshuva was good enough to not let them be killed. The tshuva was good enough for not them to be swallowed up by the sinkhole. They weren't swallowed up. But the tshuva was not good enough to save them from Yisurin. For the rest of their lives, the B'nai Korach went through Yisurin, tremendous pain and tsar and the worst things you can imagine, sicknesses, and that was their punishment for being on Korach's side, even though they worked on it later because I guess they didn't do a full tshuva. That's the line of Makom Nispatzelam. That's a tremendous, tremendous idea over there. It comes out, by the way, as a side note, that according to Rashi, unless we're learning it incorrectly, Gehenim is a real place, and it's underneath the earth. It does seem that way, right? Because Rashi is saying that they got swallowed up by the earth and a place was stood up for the B'nai Korach. It seems to be taking it literally. So there literally is a Gehenim beneath our feet. Now the Rambam in Mori Nevuchim says there is no such place as Gehenim. Gehenim is an idea where there's tremendous embarrassment and shame and bad things happening in that area. You have this idea of what Gehenim is supposed to stand for. That's how the Rambam says it. The Ramban in Shara Gemul mentions that Gehenim is a real physical place, but we have no idea where it is. It is not beneath our feet, but there is a real physical Gehenim. And then he goes on to explain how the spiritual neshama can be punished in a physical Gehenim. We actually did that earlier this week. That's the Ramban and Shara Gemul. So you have this answer. It seems to be a three-way machlokas. Rashi's saying there's a literal Gehenim beneath our feet. The Rambam saying there is no real Gehenim. It's just an idea. And the Shara Gemul, the Ramban, saying that there is, but it's not there. It's something else entirely. That's a real crazy machlokas. How to define that machlokas, that's not our job for right now. That's something that probably would take 45 minutes in and of itself. And I don't even know if I'm the right person for the job to be able to go through that one. But at least know that that's a three-way machlokas that goes through. There are other midrashim that deal with this issue, what happened to B'nai Korach. The first one mentioned by the Medrash Rabbah and Medrash Tehillim over here in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tezvav, is that it says the words of Ashrei Ish Asher Lo Halach Ba'atzos Rishayim. Happy is the man who doesn't go by the Atzos Rishayim, Zu B'nai Korach. They didn't go by the eights of the Rishayim. Uvederek Rishayim Lo Amad, Vamoshav Leitzim Lo Yoshav, that also refers to the B'nai Korach, that they went away from them. And that refers to Rebbe, right? The opinion of the Medrash that says that they had a special place stood up for them, like Rashi says. Rebbe Yehuda Anasi says, the land they were on did not split in half. The land around them split in half, but the land around them did not. So it was like a peninsula that went out, in which their land survived while everything else split and went straight down to the ground itself. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman says, each one of the three B'nai Korach had a separate pillar that stood up for them so they were able to stand there. But then comes the fourth Medrash. It's a Medrash Tehillim in Mem Vav and Mem Tes that says that they were blown into the air. There was no spot, no pillar that stood them up. A ruach came and blew them into the air so that they were standing in the air. You ever been to the Museum of Science and Industry and you see that area where they're trying to explain to you how wind works? So you like press this little thing and there's like a little thing over there with like wind blowing out from it. You have a little ball, like one of those like, those little balls that, the like no air ball, I forget what they're called. Like the little blue or red, and you put it on top of it and it like keeps it up and it keeps it right over there. That's what I'm thinking B'nai Korach were. B'nai Korach were that little ball with like the wind keeping them up there, not allowing them to go down into Gehenim until they finally went around right over there. They stood up and they said, B'nai Korach then prophesied to the people and they said, this will happen to you, La'asid Lavo. When Mashiach comes, or at the times when Mashiach comes and there's a war of Gog and his country Magog, and there's a horrible thing going on, all the Jews think they're going to be killed by it. He said, no. Said the B'nai Korach, that's not going to happen. Just like we were saved from the other Rishayim, we were blown into the air and kept up in the air, you will have the same thing happen to you. You will also be kept up in the air and nothing bad will happen to you. He promised them that was what was going to be. All these four explanations explain to us that even though there's bad things that might happen to Rishayim in the future, Tzadikim can be saved. There's a Gemara Bava Kama that seems to argue with that, but that's the idea behind it. Okay, if you turn the page, Shmos Chav Dalet mentions that the people's names are Asir, Elkanah, and Avi Asaf, or Asaf. Those were the three names of the B'nai Korach, and we went through everything else. They sang. They had Ruach HaKodesh. They had Nevuah. And they sang. What did they sing? So there's a couple of machloksim. We already said before that they said, Moshe emes v'sorasu emes v'him badoin. That was their song. Moshe is true. The Torah is true. We are a bunch of liars. That's one. According to the Torah Shlema, they sang Hashem memis umechaya. Hashem kills and brings back to life from Chana's song about Shmuel in Shmuel Aleph at the end of Perek Aleph, beginning of Perek Beis. That refers to, I mean, obviously that works because who is Shmuel and Avi the descendant of? The B'nai Korach. So it makes sense that that was the song that they ended up saying. Rav Wolfson says they sang a song about tshuva, about how to do tshuva and how awesome tshuva is. And their voices were loud and clear. And they were singing from this area while the earth was splitting in front of them. Now, here's the weird thing. In Parshas Korach, the Pasuk says the words, Nasu Likolam. They ran away from the noise that was happening by the earthquake. All the people ran away. After all, right? If there's a huge, crazy thing that's happening, right? You hear something awesome happening, obviously you run away. A massive thunder and lightning storm, you don't just stand there saying, come to me, my lightning friend. Right? You don't do that. You obviously run away because it's scary and you want to get away from there as soon as you possibly can. These people should have run away. But it says, nasu likolam. They ran to their noise. What were they running to? Says Rav Olson. They were running to the voices of the B'nai Korach. They heard the B'nai Korach singing songs of tshuva. And even though their natural instinct was to run away, get away from this. Why should we be here when this whole earthquake is happening? Their instincts were telling them to do this. The songs of the B'nai Korach pulled them in. Says Rav Olson, that's why it says, Nasu L'Kolam. They went straight forward thinking, we have to be involved with this. He says, L'Kolam is the Rashi Tevas of Lamnatseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. That's the idea. Lamnatseach Livnei Korach Mizmor is Lamed Kuf Lamed Mem. It's off. It's Lamed Kuf Mem. But Lamnatseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. Yah says the Rashi Tevas of Kolam Kuf Vav Lamed Mem is Uvnei Korach Lo Mesu. Uvnei is the Vav, Korach the Kuf, Lo is the Lamed, Mesu is the Mem. Kolam, that they were running away for their kolam, their noise, their voices, that's what they ran away from. That's a tremendous, tremendous idea. There are other answers. The Ber Yosef says it's Mizmor Memhe. Marsha says referring to Tilim Pei Ches. That's what he says in Sanhedrin Kuf Yud over there, to bring them out from over there. And you can look that up. Everything's over there. Now, why is this here? Simple pshat, the Ibn Ezra and the Chizkuni say it's to contrast them with the children of Dustin and Abiram. Dustin and Abiram's kids all went down into the pit. Korach's kids did not go down into the pit. It's the contrast. It says, B'nai Korach Mesu, everything they owned died. And look at Korach. Korach, his kids survived. That's the contrast. That's what it's doing over here, and that's what it's supposed to be over here. Korach was bad. But he was l'shem shamayim enough that his kids didn't die from it. Dustin and Aviram were really bad. And they were so bad that not only they died, but their kids died as well. That's the idea behind it. That's what it says. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh said, if only Korach was involved, if that was it, if Korach would have gone up to Moshe and said, Moshe, I don't understand what you're doing, everything would have been fine. It's the fact that Dustin and Aviram got involved that everything went haywire. Everything went crazy. Because Dustin and Aviram are bad people. And when bad people got involved, Korach went bad as well. And therefore, Dustin and Aviram were so bad, they were so bad, they took down everybody else with them. The hint is that their children died as well, while by Korach it was something completely different. That's the idea the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says. Chassam Sofer brings down a Gemara Megillah. You probably know this. Hu Achashverosh. Does anybody remember this drasha from the Gemara Megillah Yud Aleph? Hu Achashverosh. Why does it say he is Achashverosh? He bimei Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? He is the Achashverosh. Does anybody remember the drasha? Okay, it's a hard one. He is Achashverosh, the evil one, from the beginning until the end. Achashverosh was evil when he started. He was evil when it ended. Nothing changed. Achashverosh was no different his whole life. He was always an evil person. Who Dustin va'Aviram? Dustin and Aviram were evil from the beginning to the end. They never changed. Everything about them was the exact same thing. They were evil from the beginning. They were evil to the very, very end. You know why? Because Dustin and Aviram never had kids that were able to say Kaddish for them, to learn Mishnayos for them, or to do something for their souls. Dustin and Aviram's kids were as evil as they were, and therefore, even after they died, Dustin and Aviram remained dead. They are Dustin and Aviram forever because nothing can bring them up again. Their kids all died with them. They were all evil. Korach. It never says who Korach. Never. And you know why? Because even though Korach was bad, and Korach did something wrong, and Korach should be punished, Korach himself was bad. The B'nai Korach were great people. And they allowed Korach to become greater after death. After he died, good things happened to them. Korach will come up again. That's the idea because of what happened with his children itself. Now the Malia Omer has a whole vort over here, something else that has to be said, but we're going to skip it for now. The Medrash Haggadah says the pshat, the point behind the pasuk, is to tell you the power of tshuva. That the three of them did what they did, even though they did tshuva last minute, they still got saved. And again, according to Rashi, they didn't get fully saved. They got halfway saved. But even that, is amazing. Last second they do tshuva, and look at what happens to them. They get brought up from another place. It's always good to do tshuva. Always good. Even in the very last throes of your life, it's always good to be able to do some type of tshuva to be able to bring yourself out. That's the amazing, amazing part behind here. What was the schus? It's possible that the schus was something that they did for Moshe Rabbeinu himself. In fact, this schus may be so great, that it could have even saved Korach in his lifetime. If everybody will notice, I just want you to turn this week's parsha. Turn to Pinchas, to this pasuk right over here, Chav Vav Yud Aleph. Look at the pasukim before and look what it says about Korach, where Korach seems to be involved in everything. Contrast that with what it says in Parshas Korach. In Parshas Korach, Korach is never, ever mentioned from the first pasuk until the end of the parsha. It says, Vayikach Korach. Everybody knows that, right? It mentions Adas Korach after that, that Moshe spoke to the Adas Korach. It mentions Dasan and Aviram. It mentions them. Korach's name is not mentioned from that point on. And in fact, it comes down, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, Korach lo mina bluim v'lo mina srufim. He wasn't burned up with the Ketores. He wasn't swallowed up by the ground with everybody else. Korach was his own man throughout all this. He is, I don't want to say, he's ignored by the Parsha and Parshas Korach. He's not even mentioned. In fact, I remember when I was my first year in Eretz Yisrael and we got to Parshas Korach, I wrote down my own notes. This is 1998. So in 1990, I was writing my own notes, and I saw in Parshas Korach, I wrote down, I said, Korach never died. Korach did tshuva like Own Ben Pelas. You know what my vort was? My vort was because Korach is never mentioned among the dead. It says, Kol Asher LeKorach died. Everything that Korach owned died. But it doesn't say that Korach died. So in Parshas Korach, I wrote, he didn't die. He lived on like Own Ben Pelas, and everything was all good. And then I got to Parshas Pinchas, and it says straight out, Korach was part of the Bluim and the Srufim, that he got swallowed up by the ground, and he was burned. And I was like, I was wrong. I have that written down in Parshas Pinchas. I was wrong. Just check that out. There's a problem. So why is he ignored in Parshas Korach? Why would he be ignored over there? And all of a sudden, we bring up his death over here. It's the strangest thing in the world. And the answer is because the B'nai Korach were awesome. And their schus should have survived. And if not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu called out loud and said, Al tefen al minchasam, don't listen to their prayers. Don't allow them to do tshuva. Korach would have survived with the B'nai Korach. B'nai Korach were so great that their tshuva was so good, it should have worked for Korach himself, and it would have had Moshe Rabbeinu not davened for it. So then I have Akasha. If Moshe Rabbeinu said they shouldn't daven, don't listen to their tefillah, and for that reason, Korach died, then why did the B'nai Korach live? How could they do tshuva? If Korach didn't survive from it, why were they allowed to do tshuva? That makes no sense whatsoever. Rav Zilberstein has something in Aleinu L'Shabeach about this. Bra Mezaka Abba, he says it doesn't work because he didn't care enough, right? And Ayelus HaShachar says it even further. Rav Arnleif Steinman looks at this pasuk and says, do you see they did tshuva? It doesn't say B'nai Korach did tshuva. Says Rashi, Hiruru tshuva belibam. They thought about doing tshuva. And even that was good enough. You hear that, Jace? They didn't do tshuva. They're standing there, and they're thinking to themselves, as they're being swallowed up by the ground, they're sitting there and they're like, you know, maybe we should do tshuva now. And that was enough. Just saying those words were enough. Not even saying it. Thinking it was enough. That they were saved in Malkum Yisfatzalim again. It tells you how evil Dustin and Aviram were, right? How evil they were, that Dustin and Aviram, even though we had a shir earlier about Dustin and Aviram were willing to take their evil to the grave. That even when they're being swallowed up, they're like, we're still right. Moshe's still wrong. But the B'nai Korach thought about Jew and Shuba, and even that's good enough. So how come it worked for the B'nai Korach? Why is that good enough? Says Midrash Yilam Deinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu first came to Korach to talk about this issue, the B'nai Korach were in a quandary. Korach, their father, is sitting right down next to them. Moshe Rabbeinu, their Rebbe, is coming into the room. Now this gets to what you were asking before. I think it was, who asked this? Josh? What do you do? Do you stand up for Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe, when your father doesn't want you to stand up? Or, right? Well, do you stand up or do you stay down? Your dad told you to. Kibud Avaim versus Kibud Rabo, the covet of your Rebbe. What do you do? Your father's telling you don't stand up. That Rebbe's not worth standing up for. The Rebbe walks in. What do? The B'nai Korach went against their father and stood up for Moshe Rabbeinu. in front of their father when Moshe Rabbeinu is coming in to argue and Korach is making his arguments? I've got a beged full of tchelas, so you have tzitzis. I've got a room full of svarim. What do I do with the mezuzah? All the arguments. I've got a body that's entirely white. Is it tame? And while all those arguments are going on, while everything was being said, Korach himself looked at his kids and his kids all got up and stood up for Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Midrash Yelamdenu, because they stood up for Moshe Rabbeinu, their tshuva was accepted. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Al tepen al menchasim, don't listen to their tefillas because they're against me." But the Bnei Korach weren't against Moshe. They were with Moshe. They might have had an argument, but they were still with Moshe Rabbeinu. When you have an argument with somebody, especially when it's in learning, you can argue and say that the other person doesn't know what he's talking about. You can say that that guy doesn't know how to learn a piece of Gemara. It's very shayach. He doesn't know how to learn a piece of Gemara. But you have to have respect for the person. There still has to be a kavod for that person. The person's still great, even though he made a mistake, might have made a mistake in the Gemara he's learning. Even if he made a mistake in halacha, that doesn't make him a bad person. There still has to be a kavod there. Midrash Lamdenu says that Bnei Korach were surviving, they were able to survive, because although they argued with Moshe, they thought Moshe was wrong, they stood up for Moshe when Moshe Rabbeinu got in the room. And that allowed their thoughts of tshuva to save them. Not even their tshuva. The thoughts of tshuva were able to do that. Ayelus HaShachar brings down, standing up for a Talmud Chacham brings you Yiras Shamayim. You stand up for a Talmud Chacham, you will get Yiras Shamayim, it will be ma'or within you to do tshuva, and that's exactly what happened. It doesn't matter they were over on Kibbutz Av. That's the mitzvah, and that's what allowed them to survive. Yeah.
Yeah, but once they arise, and the rest of this is just...
Kibbutz Av Aim?
Kibbutz Av Aim is Arisa.
You're right, and so is Kibbutz Rabo. And so is Kibbutz Rabo. And that's a bigger one, because not only is there Kavod HaRav involved, there's Kavod HaTorah involved, and that Gemara that I quoted before in Lamed Aleph in Kedushin. Even more so. In fact, the Gemara says, people are so foolish. They stand up for a Torah when the Torah goes down, when it goes to the Aron Kodesh, even though technically there's no chiv to stand up for it because it's above 10 tefachim. I'm not going to get into that. But people stand up for a Sefer Torah as it goes through, but they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham who's makel and matur and able to do things for them. A Talmud Chacham who can literally create Torah in the air with his mouth. They don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. It's a kal v'chomer. If you stand up for the Torah, you have to stand up for Talmid Chachamim. It's even greater. Even greater. And Kavod Rabo, won't get into the Machlokas, but over there, Kavod Rabo versus Kibbutz Av Aim, Kavod Rabo wins. Why? Because your father brings you into this world, and your Rebbe brings you into the next world. So yeah, they're both Deoraisas. And Kibbutz Rabo is even more so. It's an amazing, amazing idea. That's what saved them. Their Kavod HaRav saved them. The Bnei Korach over anything else. And I'll end with the Netziv. We say with in the Haggadah, in the Seder itself, in the middle of the Gadda, we say, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Originally, our fathers were all Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Terach, Avi Avram. Terach, right, was an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. How did Terach make it into the Seder? Terach made it in there? Moshe doesn't make it into the Seder. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, doesn't make it into the Seder. And Terach makes it into the Seder? What's Terach doing there? And the answer is, it's the indecisiveness and the hypocrisies that Terach lived with, that made Avram Avinu into the person he became. He looked at Terach and he said, "Dad, you don't know what you're doing. You can't figure out what you're talking about. You don't know what you're saying." With all the midrashim of knocking down the Avodah Zarah, etc., right? He knew. Terach had no clue what was going on with his life. And that's what made him who he was. Korach created the Bnei Korach. The hypocrisies of Korach himself. I want to be Kohen Gadol. No, I want to be the king. Taking on Dustin Aviram on his side, even though he was trying to do this L'Shem Shemayim, why would you take Dustin Aviram? They're the wrong people to go to. That's what caused the Bnei Korach to come back. They saw the hypocrisies of their father and they came back. That's another answer. Not exactly a schus, but another answer as to what they saw that allowed them to go through. They no longer respected their father because they saw their father didn't know what he was talking about. So at the end of their lives, they stopped and they ended up going another way. There's another tremendous remez here brought by the Maharil, not the Merle Diskin, the Maharil, the Hasidish Rebbe from 200 years ago. If you want to look it up, it's absolutely amazing. But we'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.